Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
All right, we have regrouped. We are ready for the second half of the show. It's been an eventful first 2 hours. Tons going on with the Titans and the Predators. We'll monitor the NHL draft that continues going forward right now. The Predators have made one of their 2 second-round picks. They traded the other one along with Nick Bonino to get Luke Kunin. So we'll recap that a little bit later in the show. In the meantime, it is time to check in with Tim Hasselbeck, brought to you by Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue. Our NFL analyst is with us again. Tim, anything going on in the NFL right now?
Wow. Hey, buddy.
Especially here in Nashville, right?
Oh, goodness. Tim, you had some great insights.
Last week, it's kind of essentially what happened, right?
Oh, man, you were all over it. And I think at the time we discussed this last week, I remembered your words a lot. Your words were the negative tests don't get you out of the woods or something to that effect. And
they don't mean anything.
Yeah. And I think you were dead on right, because as we've learned, and we knew this, right? But I think it's almost like we didn't want to believe. You just want to believe that if everybody's negative today, everybody will be negative tomorrow. But that's just not how this virus works. But let's start with this. Were you, based on what you had a great understanding of, especially with your firsthand experience with the ACC and some of the college programs you followed, were you surprised that the NFL seems to have made the same mistake, as we sit here today, with the Patriots as they did with the Titans, getting on a plane and flying with somebody positive?
Yeah.
Or even if you leave that positive test behind and take everybody else?
Yeah, I think... I think the Patriots were operating with other information, feeling that, the Howard Ayer team was following protocols, who had been near Cam Newton, that it was safe to go. And I think that because of the way things have gone with the Titans, I think that's why you see, the league, at least appearing to have kind of the Titans in their crosshairs in terms of, hey, look, protocols don't mean anything if they're not followed. And, look, I don't know that the Titans weren't following them. You'd have to be in their facility to know whether they were or they weren't. But I think the league has access to that. And so I'm just kind of deducing that through the information of how the league has basically approached the Titans versus how they have approached some of these other teams. Because, again, the league has access to video from inside these teams' facilities.
Right. So let's start with the Titans. We all read the memo yesterday. It really screamed what you just said. The protocols we feel comfortable work. One team didn't follow the protocols. But now we sit here a day later, we're seeing some issues with the Patriots. They've had to call off practice now. It's been reported that Stephon Gilmore, who has a positive test, was on the separate plane among players that were around Cam Newton. So we don't know what's coming down for them in terms of testing in the next few days. We're going to find out more. So is it the Titans,
correct,
or is it the protocols, or is it a combination?
Well, so here's what I would say. There are a couple people actually heard my interview with you guys last week that reached out to me and are like, hey, we think you're wrong. And, I was kind of like, well, tell me why. And they said, well, these things are in place. These guys, everyone's got the monitors on and, you're wearing masks in these meetings and you're 6 feet apart. And basically the probability of you getting sick when, if you're adhering to these protocols, even when you're out at practice and that kind of thing, it's not going to happen. And I was like, well, I kind of pushed back a little bit saying, you know, some of these things with these protocols, so some of these things with these protocols are, you know, a bit arbitrary as well, right? Like, so someone decided, like, hey, within 6 feet of somebody, you know, without a mask on for 10 minutes. Well, like where did we come up with 10 minutes? You know, like, I know we're using it as a guideline. We have
right.
to do something, but could it happen in the first 1 minute, you know? Or so, you know, I just think that, like, I do think that if everyone is, you know, strictly adhering to the protocols, I don't think that you are going to get a situation like the Titans. Now, you know, does that mean you're not going to have any? No, it doesn't mean you're not going to have any. Because, you know, part of the situation is, you know, the facility is one thing. And this goes back to what we talked about, you know, when this all started. The facility is one thing. But when you go home, it's another. You know, so if your family comes to visit you and is staying with you, well, that just changed everything, especially if they got on a plane and flew there or all of that stuff. So, or how about this? What if your spouse, listen, there are Titans players just like there are players around the league. Their spouses work. Like when I played in the NFL, my wife had a job, and she was in contact with a lot of people when
right.
she had a job. Well, the same thing goes for Titans players and other NFL players and coaches and staff members. So, you know, I think these protocols are speed bumps. And, you know, speed bumps, you know, don't prevent people from speeding. You know, slowing down prevents you from speeding.
There's also in the memo, and it's been referenced, especially now that there are an additional positive test or two with the Titans. We'll find out who those players are later in the day, I would presume, when they make the move to the COVID list. It looks like there's no way you could play the game on Sunday. So the word forfeit has been proposed by some. Do you think that's a little harsh, or do you think that's even a realistic or remote possibility?
I think it all depends on if there are violations of the protocol. Like, if there weren't violations of the protocol, then that's crazy to
right.
force them to forfeit a contest. Because if it's like, wait a second, you know, league and NFLPA, you put these protocols together, we adhered to them, and even if there was like a, you know, a little miss here and a little miss there, that's one thing. You know, if there's a blatant disregard for the protocols, then I think there will be overwhelming support for that. Because
for a forfeit altogether, a forfeit, not just losing a draft pick, but forfeiting a game.
Well, here's what I would say. So, like, you know, if 30, you know, one other teams are able to play because they're are, you know, adhering to protocols, and one is not. So what are you going to do with these games? You're going to, you know, you've already affected other organizations and their bye weeks and their, you know, the layout of their schedule and their players. And, like, so, you know, at some point, again, this is if you're not adhering to protocols. If you're not adhering to protocols, well, then there has to be someone that bears the responsibility. But if you are adhering to the protocols, then, you know, to say you have to forfeit a game because you have an outbreak on your team, like, that would be absurd. But if the league and the NFLPA investigate and find out that, whatever it is, I'm just going to make something up, guys weren't wearing masks, you know, people weren't wearing the tracing devices, they were, whatever, sharing water bottles. Like, you know, who knows? The various things that, you know, they shouldn't be doing, and it was blatant disregard for that. Yeah, they're going to punish them. I don't think there's any doubt that they're going to punish them, because they also have to cover their own interests as well, which is to your point of, like, soldiering on to play these games like the New England-Kansas City game.
Okay, there's another allegation, Tim, that you're probably aware of that has been reported that they are looking into, and it has not been substantiated to this point. Mike Vrabel said in his Zoom call, we've told the players not to gather, even though we can't get into our facility. There was an allegation that some players gathered somewhere and had some sort of workout. If that's substantiated, is that the kind of thing that would give a harsh penalty?
I think the way that would come out, and the first thing I saw this morning was that there were guys that are testing positive now 9 days after, you know, the facility was shut down. You know, so that ends up being a really tricky part, right? So, like, just say, for example, I don't know what these guys have been told, but let's just say you were told, hey, you have to quarantine, right? Well, and so if these guys are supposed to be 9 days into quarantine, you know, why are you getting new positive tests? You know, that would be a concern. So, you know, and in terms of guys gathering, here's what I would say about that I think is really tricky, which I think is really, you know, I think to shut down a team's facility for a week, but it's available to guys that are injured. Like, the facility should either be available or not. And, you know, if it was okay for the injured guys to go in and get treatment, then why couldn't guys, you know, go in and get a lift? Like, why couldn't guys go in really small groups away from each other, you know, wipe down the weight room or have them work out outside, you know, kind of individually? They got enough space to do that, you know, rather than saying, hey, listen, because remember, when they shut down the facility, Willie, they also, you know, were kind of operating of like, hey, we might play a game on Tuesday. So, like, put yourself in that position as a player where you're like, okay, so I can't come to work, but you might want me to play Tuesday. So what, you want me to just, like, get on a Peloton all week long? Like, what is that?
Yeah.
Because the reality is, like, Brian Hoyer played poorly the other night. Well, like, he's trying to prove that he still belongs in the NFL. And, you know, he was really up against it, you know, playing on the road against the defending Super Bowl champs. And, you know, without the work that you would get to, you know, be the starter. So, like, look, I wouldn't fault players for wanting to do something to be ready because they were expecting to play on Tuesday. So, you know, in fairness to those guys, if they did get together, like, you know, or they did, you know, if they did work out, well, what do people expect them to do? Like, and why couldn't you create, like, an environment outside for them to be nowhere near somebody and work out?
It's a fair question. And the Players Association should have a say in that, right? You're looking for the rights of the players. The players have to be able to prepare to do their job, right, somewhere. So that should be taken into account, whether this is an extreme violation by the team that would have you considering a forfeit or a loss of a draft pick, something like that. So, Tim, in the meantime, let's say...
I can tell you this, Willie. Is it really safe for a quarterback to drop back, have his eyes downfield, looking at where he's going to throw the ball with an offensive line group that wasn't able to practice together all week and, you know, work on picking up, you know, a various third down blitz package, you know, that the team you're facing has? Like, is it really safe for a player to do that? You know, to have it, like, I would argue that it's not. And especially if you are a backup quarterback that hasn't gotten those reps. So, you know, I think there are elements to, like, the way they've handled these things that have put these players in a really hard position.
So with that in mind, knowing that realistically you can't ask the Titans to play on Sunday against the Bills. The Bills also play on Thursday, a week from tomorrow. So you can't move the game to Monday or Tuesday. That's not realistic. So is it better in your mind, if you're Commissioner Hasselbeck, are you saying, hey, it's time to introduce a week 18? Or are you thinking this game just isn't going to be played and both of these teams might end up with 15 games on their schedule?
Yeah, I mean, I think you're going to end up having teams that have less than 15 games on their schedule with these protocols. I mean, that's how I see it. So, I think you're going to start clipping games is how I would see this happening. You know, extending this all out is, I don't know that you get agreement on that. And I've heard various things about, you know, the Super Bowl venue is, you know, booked out for 3 weeks after the Super Bowl and, you know, all of that stuff. And, you know, I don't know if any of that stuff is true or not, but, yeah, I guess at this stage, before the halfway point, I would probably take the approach of, hey, we're gonna push everything back and make the season actually cover, you know, a longer period of time. But I think ultimately what would happen is, you know, we stop and not everybody plays 16 games.
Tim Hasselbeck is with us, ESPN NFL analyst. So is there a point in your mind, we were discussing this earlier, where – Goodell and the NFL, the owners, they might just go, all right, we just need to call a timeout. We got to get in front of this because we already know what's happening with the Titans. It looks to be beginning with the Patriots. Could there be other teams that it hits them? I know baseball, they kept going. They were able to catch up, but they don't have the NFL doesn't have the time that baseball had to be able to catch things up.
Right.
So is there a point in your mind where they hit the timeout button?
Yeah, I mean, you almost wonder if, like, now is the time to go, guess what? We're going to put a pause on these next 2 weeks here. Because here's the other problem that you have, Chase, and I think that, look, what we ran into it locally here in youth football. Like, who do the Titans have after the Bills? I don't know who their opponent is that
Texans.
Week, but whoever it is. Okay, do they want to play them? Like, you could have Texans players be like, hold on, man. Like, wait a second.
Right.
Like, they've had two players test positive, you know, every week for the last 3 weeks. Like, nah, like, we're good. Like, we're not playing them. Because I think you can end up having some of that situation as well. So, I really don't know what happened. You know, your point about baseball is well taken. You can play doubleheaders. You can... You know, you give guys certain rest and things like that. You're not resting Ryan Tannehill. You know, you're not resting, you know, certain players, you know, because you're playing, you know, three games in 12 days. Like, you can't do that. You know, I don't think you ever get the Players Association to agree to that. So, you know, I think ultimately what happens is you need to kind of continue on, but you've got to have some type of plan where when we look up before the playoffs start, we haven't played 16 games. You know, we maybe have played 12, and I don't, you know, I don't know how you fix that. The big caveat in all this, the big thing that I think is going to be a huge determining factor in all of this, is what the league finds in terms of protocols being followed or not. So any place that's had a breakout, so this isn't just unique to the Titans. Any place that's had a breakout, when they investigate the team. You know, if people, you know, have been following the protocols, then you know, it's going to come back in the league. If the teams have not been, then the organization, the players, the coaching staff, they're going to feel the pain of that if that was really the case.
I do want to ask you, you know, I know all this has been dominating what's been going on, but the Texans made a move and they let go of Bill O'Brien. Four games, they're 0-4. Romeo Crennel's named the interim. Were you surprised that now was the time that he's the GM and the head coach, but they decided to move on?
Yeah, I think now it was surprising that like now was the time. It's really early in the season. I mean, for a guy that's been there that long, you know, had taken the team to postseason and, you know, had some success for this to happen week four in obviously what has been a really tricky year. Yeah, a little bit surprised that it happened when it happened. Like if you're going to do it at week four because you kind of see the way things are going, you know, why wasn't something done maybe, you know, at the end of last year? Or why wouldn't you just kind of ride it out until week 10? See if it gets any better, and then if it doesn't, you know, you're one of the first ones to kind of, you know, start your search for your next head coach. So, you know, at the quarter point of the season, I thought it was pretty early.
I did want to ask you too, you obviously do college football games for the ACC Network. What has that process been like for you, whether you're traveling or I'm not sure if you've done some remote, how that's worked,
yeah.
But through all this,
yeah.
what it's been like?
Well, so here's what I could tell you. What's interesting is I have called college football games from home. You know, so I've called a game in Miami from Nashville. I've called a game, you know, in Blacksburg from Nashville. You know, I was, you know, I've gone to Louisville and called a game in person. I called the Clemson, Virginia game this past weekend in person. You know, what's really interesting is that, you know, I had two teams that throughout training camp, North Carolina State and Virginia Tech, had a really hard time with COVID outbreaks. And I think their season, I think they felt like their season was in jeopardy. But these teams that have kind of been through the fire of it, they seem to be doing great. You know, what we get, Chase, before every game from these schools, and I think it's the right way to handle it, is we get an available and an unavailable list of players prior to each game. So you don't know if a player is unavailable because he's been suspended, he's got a knee injury, or if he has COVID or is part of contact tracing. But you know, you kind of get a sense based on, you know, just knowing the landscape of each team, you know, if they're being hit hard by kind of contact tracing or a COVID outbreak. And I can tell you through, I've done six college games now, some teams have been through it. But like Clemson, for example, like, you know, they just don't announce like how many COVIDs were not available, basically. But they have over 100 guys on their roster. And I think that they had everybody but three guys available. So something is going right in college football in terms of how players are following protocols and being able to play in college football. And some of those schools are benefiting from their classes being online and not as many students being on campus, but they're getting it done. And, you know, the NFL is kind of on shaky ground, it seems, right now.
Do you? I know it's different with college because these are amateur athletes, and so you know, you have some privacy issues there, but do you think that the NFL should, I mean, they're already releasing players' names, but should the Titans have to release the coaches or the personnel of who tested positive? I mean, is that information that you think we have a right to know?
You know, I don't really think so, and because I would say this, I mean, like, look, if somebody tests positive, like, look, could it be because they're not following protocol? Sure, it could. But, like, some of it's uncontrollable, right? Like, some of it is,
right,
you could be doing everything possible. Like, and just, who knows? Especially if you have kids that are going to school or, you know, so I don't think, you know, I thought Mike Vrabel was great on it when he's like, look, this isn't anybody's fault, you know? And, you know, let's hope that that's, you know, really the case. But, like, so, look, I think from seeing things from, you know, you go back to, you know, the false positive that Matthew Stafford had and kind of the, you know, the experience that his wife put online about, you know, kind of how people were looking at him when it was a false positive, you know, and looking at her and her kids and she's taking them to the playground and stuff when, you know, it was a false positive. People just didn't know about it. Like, in fairness to people, like, yeah, no, I don't think that everybody deserves everyone's details in it. But I do think that, like, for example, if you have tested positive or if you are in contact tracing, like, you can't go to work, you know, you can't do so. You know, if you find out some of those things have happened, like, yeah, look, that's a problem. I don't know that everyone needs to know, but, like, there does need to be some type of punishment for that.
Tim, leave us with this. In your mind, do you believe that the Patriots game this weekend will be on? Or is it too early to tell?
I mean, if there's no more positive tests outside of Gilmore, then I do think they'll be on. I think the other thing is this. I think whatever happens to the Chiefs players, I think will also be a big determining factor on this. Like, just take, for example, right now we're at no Minnesota Vikings, correct? Like, that's
correct.
Where we are?
Correct.
So,
fortunately, yes.
So here's the thing. So the league's perspective is definitely going to be, hey, wait a second. Football is not transmitting this. Like, there's obviously, you know, been an outbreak with the Titans. They played the Vikings. Those players are not testing positive. So if we start seeing Vikings players test positive, you know, then all of a sudden I think everything changes. If we, you know, the picture is circulating with Stephon Gilmore and Patrick Mahomes saying good game after the game. If Patrick Mahomes tests positive, you know, in 4 days, then no, I don't think we will. But the fact that the NFL right now is operating under the assumption that football is not transmitting it, and quite honestly, they seem to have a lot of evidence that it's not, then, yeah, I think they play.
And that is the best news, right? I mean, I don't know that we could pull any of this off if it were true that you every time you play a game, you're running a big risk. So fortunately, that's been the case to this point. That's what the evidence says. Now, one other thing we haven't covered,
right,
Tim, is the Raiders.
You think, I mean,
right?
You would agree with that, right? Would you wouldn't you, really? Like, football is not transmitting it.
Yes, I think we would know. We would know. I don't think we'd be able to complete high school seasons. Everybody that's playing, I think, would have had to have stopped by now if that were the case.
Yep.
So what about the Raiders? You have these fines, heavy fines for the charity event, nobody wearing masks, all of that stuff. And now they do have one positive case. So is that a huge area of concern for you?
Yeah, and I think that looking at the league's desire to punish them for, you know, players going out to a charity event, for, you know, a coach not wearing a mask properly, the, you know, the way that the league has aggressively, you know, decided to kind of punish teams and individuals for not adhering to the protocols when there really has not been a big outbreak that stopped play, right? Like you mentioned, just, hey, one guy's tested positive, I think is a really good indicator that if a team were not to be following protocols and then they shut down games, to get back to your earlier question about forfeiture, like, I think that they've already showed their hand in terms of what they're going to do. You know, I think they basically are going to swing the sledgehammer if you're shutting down games and not following protocol.
Tim, great stuff, as always. Hopefully in the coming weeks, we'll have majority football X's and O talk and predictions and fun things to preview games and not all of this stuff. But this is where we are. But we'll talk to you again next week.
All right, cool. See you, fellas.
See you, Timmy.
Thanks a lot. Tim Hasselbeck from ESPN, brought to you by Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue. You can listen to him every Wednesday at noon here on the show. So didn't completely rule out the forfeit thing.
No. Nope.
We'll have to wait and see on that. We'll get back to that when we return to the show. We've got some other things that have come down the pike just since we started talking to
Tim. I need a nap.
Yeah, after the show, for sure. We're going to shut it down for a couple hours there and decompress a little bit. But it's going at a furious pace. We like that. And so we'll return in just a moment here on Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN, 102.5 The Game.
I guess how comfortable would you be at this point continuing to play this game, knowing that there are reports that more Titans players have tested positive and we're only 4 days away from this game?
Yeah, I think that's real. You know, that's a real, obviously, situation. And you know, like I said, Heather, we are monitoring it as closely as we can from here. And we have to be, as I've said before, responsible and continue to gather information so that we can, as I said before, put the health and well-being of our people in our building at the top of our priority list. We have a lot of trust and faith in the league. And so, you know, after saying that, it's, hey, what can we control? And that's really where our focus is right now, is making sure that we are doing everything we can to follow the protocols and everything right on our end. And then on the field is making sure our focus is on us growing as a football team.
That's Buffalo Bills head coach Sean McDermott at his media availability today. And just talked about that dynamic with Tim Hasselbeck. How do you feel if you're scheduled to play a team that is going through what the Titans are going through right now? And so, got issues.
I think what he said is that's real. That's very real.
Yeah.
That's the best thing you can take away from that, and it has to be. By the way, that was my favorite Van Halen song, so thanks for playing that, Elijah.
Hey, I got you.
That's a good one. Dance the night away. We've
got a lot of Predator issues that we're going to get to at 1 o'clock with Chris Mason. Turris bought out, Bonino traded for Luke Cunningham. The drafting of the goalie last night, the draft going on as we speak. We're going to cover that at 1 o'clock, but we're continuing to look into some of the things. It's looking more and more, with all these reports that have started to come out this morning, that I wonder if you're Mike Vrabel right now, Chase, how good you feel about him coming forward several times. I'm thinking three or four different media availabilities where he said, we have followed the protocols. Because if
right.
if it's proven that they have not, then I still wonder what the penalty will be. I've in my mind been thinking draft picks all along, but depending on how serious it is, would they consider a forfeit on Sunday? I don't know. I had not thought that was anywhere close to a possibility, especially not revealing any findings. I don't think you can do one without the other.
Yeah.
But I keep waiting for the other shoe to drop, the NFL discussing what they have found as to why the Titans are in this predicament.
Right. And we continue to see potential reports of did they not adhere to what, you know, they were told to do. They were told not to go meet and gather elsewhere and work out. Now we're seeing some reports that say that they maybe did that. And Vrabel was adamant in saying that, you know, we've asked them not to do that. We've told them to listen to what the league has said. So this, unfortunately, is becoming more and more of a mess with each new piece of information that we get. And I think that you certainly have to start weighing the idea of they may be forfeiting a game. They may be playing less than 16 games. I didn't think that that would be possible. I didn't think the NFL would want that, would do that, I should say. They would do everything in their power to prevent that from happening. But if there were missteps by the Titans, whether it's individuals or the team or however you want to look at it, then I would certainly understand that the league's position in having to do something. This is a very, very bad look right now.
Right.
Because
what is
up.
Something? That's the question. What is the something? Because
monetary
money,
fines, draft
well, monetary
picks, suspensions.
Fines, that doesn't. I think at this point it's beyond the monetary fines.
Well, all of the above.
If it's that serious. But to me, it's draft picks or forfeit. To me, draft picks makes more sense.
Or suspensions.
Forfeit is extremely severe, I think. But a forfeit would have to be enacted right now. I mean, you don't have a chance to appeal that, right? I would think due process, you would want to have the Titans' ability to address allegations, right, and appeal it. There's a process that you go through. How about this from Vic Carucci, who's been on our show before, longtime NFL writer based out of Buffalo. I believe he's in the Hall of Fame. Posed the question to NFL spokesman about possibility of players not being paid if Bills-Titans game is forfeited, or if players from only one team, the Titans, would not be paid, or if players with both teams would still be paid. Answer, we will decline to comment at this point.
Here's something interesting.
So, in other words, the off the record spokesperson was not ruling out anything there.
Yeah, but the National Football League rule book has a provision for forfeiture, but has never used it. There was at least one alleged forfeit in the 1921 NFL season, but because league schedules were so fluid in the 1920s, it was never clear who was at fault for that game not being played. The league now considers it a cancellation. So there's never been a forfeit in the NFL.
No. There have been a couple in baseball. We've had some fun recapping, you know, the anniversaries of those, the 10-cent beer night in Cleveland and, you know, disco demolition. But it's one thing to forfeit a game in a 162-game schedule. Forfeit in a 16-game schedule is a severe penalty. The most severe, I think, you could get. Almost to the point, like we were talking to John Murphy, the play-by-play voice of the Bills. He would say, you'd have a hard time accepting that if you're the Bills.
Sure.
Right? It's kind of like you'd feel guilty almost taking it. But you had nothing to do with it one way or the other.
My thing is, a forfeit obviously would send the point across. But do you consider saying, all right, you'll play the game, but everybody that worked out outside the facility, everybody that violated protocols after you were told not to, and the head coach, you're all suspended?
Well, remember, that's not the only allegation. That would be one.
Yeah, there are a lot of allegations.
That's today's allegation that started surfacing this morning from the Washington Post and Tom Pelissero. I know Paul Kuharsky has something out about, I guess, some sort of verification about the workout that took place. But Tim Hasselbeck had some really interesting perspective on that. It's like, if you're a player, it's your job to continue to get your body ready to play. You can't take a week off and just say, okay, when they tell me to come back to work, I'll go back. It doesn't, that's not how it works. You got to get, you got to lift weights. You got to run. You got to stay in shape. You're in the middle of a season. You're 3-0. So is that unforgivable that you would try to go get a workout? Now, if you gathered together, I still want to know the details, but that to me is more forgivable than the thing that really still sticks with me is the Adam Schefter allegation that a coach came to work knowing he'd been around some positives, he tests positive, and the Wall Street Journal, he didn't have a mask on. To me, that's right. What I've been focused on the entire time.
And that's
not as much the workout, the gathering that surfaced today. Although that's, you know, it's still.
But they told you not to.
It's still insubordination. You're right.
So what you're referencing, and again, Paul Kaharsky had this, a group of Titans worked out at Montgomery Bell Academy on September 30th, despite an NFL directive not to hold such get-togethers
what
while the team's headquarters
was closed.
September
30th was what day?
September 30th. I'm pulling up the calendar because I have no idea. That was a week ago, so it was last Wednesday.
Last Wednesday. And what day was it that Mike Vrabel had the words, we've told them not to gather? Was that later in the week?
I think it might have been like the next day, but he said it a
right.
few times.
So at that time, maybe he did. I mean, remember we had the allegation from a texter. Was
right,
that Heidi?
But if
that said,
right.
I guarantee he knew about it. Well, maybe he knew about it,
but just
at
because,
that time.
And well, and like, just because he said
told
and,
them not to do it.
And I'm not pointing fingers at Vrabel on this. I have a feeling this is just rogue players. But if the league told them, under no circumstances are you to work out together and, or gather, and they did it anyway, then that's a big deal. The NFL told you not to do something, you did it anyway. I get everybody thinking, all right, they need to work together, they need to work out, they need to be on the same page. I understand that. But if the league told you not to, you have to listen to that. It's just like if Ryan told me not to say something on the air and then I went and did it anyway, well, I'm going to get in trouble for it because my boss told me not to.
Sure.
So if that's the case, I mean, yeah, I agree with you on Shane Bowen not wearing a mask and that. I mean, that is certainly a lapse in judgment. That is not adhering to the protocols. That needs to be addressed. But to me, after all of this and after the outbreak, the league telling the players not to work out somewhere and they go and do it anyway, that's even more egregious.
I do wonder on that Zoom call where Vrabel said, we've told them not to gather, if he already knew at that point that they had gathered. I do wonder that.
I mean, that's very important, too.
And also, we have to say this. Maybe at the time they didn't know how serious this would look. But come on, guys. You go over to NBA, you don't think anybody's going to notice that you're over there? There's Titans players working on our field?
Steve Lehman of News Channel 5, sources confirmed to NC5 that a group of about 15 Titans players held a workout at Montgomery Bell Academy last Wednesday, one day after the team's facility was shut down by 8 positive COVID-19 tests. What we have to find out is at that point when they went and worked out, had the NFL given them the mandate that they could not do so? That's very important to the timeline. There are some reports that say that they had been told not to, but was it we recommend or this is a rule? Because I think that there is a very fine line there. If it's just, hey, we recommend you don't do that, you're not mandating it. And you just made what would appear to be a poor decision. But if they've mandated it, then they're in trouble.
This again goes back to what is the punishment? What should the punishment be? I still, let's say it's the most egregious of what you just said. I still don't see a forfeit. Now, draft picks, very much in play, perhaps. But you got to give some people a little slack for wanting to work out, not knowing whether you're going to be allowed back in the building. You got to stay in shape. Now, getting together, that's just not smart. You know, that many people, if it's 15 or whatever, anything close to that, you know, if it's two or three guys and we're going to be just doing some running, no team drills or anything, you're just trying to stay in shape, I think that's a little more forgivable. Because were they told to quarantine? That's another thing. Were the protocols telling them they have to quarantine, right, until we figure out who's positive, who's not? This is so new.
Right.
Right? This is the first time they've ever gone through that. There's got to be a little slack in there somewhere, but that's just me. So I'm thinking this is looking more and more like draft picks, but to me, I'd still say and drop the hammer for a forfeit would be severe. That'd be extreme.
It would be, but you have to – at some point, the NFL – number one, the NFL needs to tell us what they found out because then we can stop all this speculation. The NFL needs to come out and say, this is what we directed the Titans to do. This is what they did or didn't do. This is what we found out before this all happened. We deserve a right to know that because the NFL keeping things is just going to make the speculation worse because – quite frankly, I mean, I don't know who to blame. Is this more on the Titans? Is this more on the league? Is it both?
Well, the Titans clearly have some blame here.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And they're going to look bad by saying we followed all the protocols because it was said repeatedly that they did when they did not. So that doesn't look good. I hope that they were forthcoming with everything when the league came through there because if they weren't, and the league finds out otherwise, that is going to affect what the penalty is, right? The old Bruce Pearl. It's not exactly what they did to violate. It's that they tried to cover it up. I'm hoping that that doesn't enter into this for sure. But when you have the coach saying, we feel confident, I stand by that we did all the protocols, then if it turns out that you didn't, that is not good in retrospect at all.
Yeah,
and that has the league probably saying we got to send the message a little more loud and clear with that.
This is just it keeps getting worse and worse and worse.
You know, I'm trying to again put myself in the shoes of a player. I've been told at the time that they did this, and I'm not excusing it at all because you go to NBA, it's wide out, it's in the open, it's a beautiful field, beautiful campus. Somebody's going to notice. People are going to notice that you're there. You're in the middle of a neighborhood, right? It's not like, oh, I wonder who those guys are over there. Somebody's going to say, these are Titans guys. What are they doing here? Oh, they're working out because haven't you heard? It's the number one story in Nashville, right? So that's not smart at all. Like if they'd have driven out to, Westmoreland or something, maybe found a backfield or something. So that wasn't exactly clandestine what they did. But at the time, I think we were in the mindset that the game was going to be played. They had been sort of told, no excuses, we got to be ready to play on Sunday or Monday, even if we can't practice. And I think in the moment, they were thinking, well, we won't have any more positive tests, right? I tested negative 3 times yesterday. I'll be okay. And every other player probably thought the same thing. Well, all of us are negative. We can come out and do our work in or get our work in. And, you know, by Friday, we'll be back in the facility and we'll play on Sunday or Monday. Fair to say? I'm sure that was the thinking at the time.
Probably. But again,
still a violation.
Yeah.
No question.
And if I'm the NFL, I mean, I don't envy Roger Goodell. I don't. Because do you make an example out of the Titans, which we've given the reasons why you should, or do you go about it and say, well, this is uncharted territory. I understand that they needed to work out, even though we told them not to. Is it more of a slap on the wrist? It's a very tough decision to be in, or position to be in, and a decision to make. So I don't know, but I have a feeling there's going to be some pretty significant punishment coming the way of the Tennessee Titans.
I agree.
The league has to answer for some things too. The two airplanes with the Patriots and playing that game, and I know Dr. Alan Sills spoke on NFL Network earlier today, so we'll hear some of that. But I mean, there are a lot of things that need to be answered, and the NFL needs to do it. They better do it. We deserve answers.
That narrative does not seem to be getting legs. I thought that by now you'd have even more stuff from New England, but I think in the next couple of days it'll be critical for them that they have no more positive tests, because even Dr. Alan Sills seems to be thinking that there's still a pretty distinct difference between what the Patriots did and what the Titans did, even though all of us have questions about that. Fair to say? And
yeah.
So, Elijah, I'm going to ask you, do you have the clip of Dr. Sills on the NFL Network ready to go here?
Sure do.
All right, let's fire that up.
Given what you learned and given what's happened really over the last week to 10 days, is there any change in thinking on maybe pushing pause on the season for a week to get a handle on things and let everything settle down, or perhaps revisiting the idea even of local bubbles for teams?
Well, I think, Judy, we've said all along, every option's on the table. We've never taken any option off the table, which includes, as you said, some type of pause or reset and any other kind of alternative arrangements. But right now, what can we learn from each of these situations, trying to make sure that transmission is not ongoing in those situations? And let's also keep in mind, you know, we've got 9 to 10 weeks of data now with over 400,000 tests, and we've had about 83 positive cases. And in the overwhelming majority of those cases, we've not seen transmission, right? We've only seen it occur now in Tennessee and possibly in New England. So all that to say that there are a lot of good aspects of our protocols, things that we think are important, things that have worked, but we just have to continue to close any loopholes. And we've said all along, we know this is going to be hard. This virus is a relentless opponent. It needs only a small crack. And even 90 or 95% compliance with our protocols is not enough. That's not a passing grade, because that still leaves us a bit vulnerable.
That's Dr. Alan Sills. He's the head NFL doctor. He happens to reside in Nashville. He also said in that interview, we are, in terms of the decision to play the Monday night football game, quote, we were given information there were no, quote, high-risk close contacts with Cam Newton. Sills also says video from Patriots shows Cam wearing a mask and protocols being followed. So they still seem to see a distinction between the Patriots and the Titans. I think there's more similarities than they really want to admit there, but time will tell to see what the ramifications are in the aftermath with Stephon Gilmore testing positive. Another tweet just coming down the pike from Mark Mask. Is it Mask or Maskey? I still don't know. Washington Post. He was the one that put out there this morning, hey, Players Association looking into this Titans workout that now we see some verification of. He says, quote, there's currently no serious consideration of the NFL pausing the season or going to so-called home market bubbles with mandatory hotel stays for teams. According to his source, the NFL remains firmly convinced that its protocols work when they're followed properly. So stay tuned with that. You brought that up in the first hour, Chase. Is a time to pause. I tend to think you continue to play the games you can play, because there's going to be too many by the end that you have to make up. I still would love to hear somebody from the league say, yeah, we're considering a week 18. I haven't seen that, right?
No, it hasn't been out there. Hasn't been out there at all. So as the world turns, that's what this is.
It's turning pretty fast. It's turning pretty fast. NBA at the field, really, guys?
Yeah, I mean,
that is, the more I think about that, like, what?
How dumb are you? My friend Ricky threw out on Twitter a good point of, okay, if you're gonna break the rules, then go work out somewhere that's a little bit more off the beaten path. You know, NBA is right there on West End. You're gonna get noticed. But at the same time, I mean, I understand, I get that part of it, but at the same time, if the NFL told you not to, then don't do it.
Well, that is going to be a key question. Is it, along the timeline, is what were they told on that day?
Right.
How strongly had they been told, hey, you cannot gather?
Because it doesn't
matter. You cannot
get
together.
If you go to a high school.
Because now, if that realization was that they did that yesterday, now that's a major violation.
Sure.
But at the time, I'm trying to put myself in the shoes of what was happening that day.
It was September 30th.
The game that day was still going to be against the Steelers. The Steelers game had not been called off at that point. It was, you can't be in here. Even, remember, the NFL gave them permission to have the injured players get treatment in the facility.
Right.
So the stuff really hadn't come down yet. So this is, people are not going to be aware of that when this hits the timeline. People are just going to jump to the conclusion, oh my gosh, what are they doing? It was a huge egregious. At the time, it was not as egregious as it would have been a couple of days later. But I don't know how much they'll consider that.
Yeah, I mean, because you got to, but back to the working out at NBA, you work out at any high school, kid sees a football player, they're like, oh, hey, that looks like a insert Titan name here. They're whipping the phone out and they're taking a picture.
Right.
I mean,
and
you have
so
to
it's
know
not
that.
Even, it's not even dumb as in trying to get away with it dumb, but it's also, as we know now, somebody in on that field could have been positive.
Right. I can remember when I was at FRA, I was probably in the eighth or ninth grade. Yeah, probably eighth grade. And happened to walk up. We're going to recess or something. Walk up by the football field and Eddie George is out there working out. Now, this was before I had a cell phone and cell phones were worth, you know, what they are today. But had I had a camera, guess what I'm doing? I'm taking a picture of Eddie George working out on my football field.
Yep. No question. All right. Again, it's time to take a 20. I'm Phil Jackson coming off the bench.
I need a full. I need a
take
full.
A deep breath. Okay, we'll stretch it into a full. Sometimes they do that, you know. The coach calls timeout. The ref comes over. Do you want a 20 or full? And you give the full sign, right?
Full.
You pull your arms apart and you say, I want a full. We're going to take a full, and Chris Mason will join us, and we'll yo-yo back over to the Predators. They've been very busy today. We'll hash it all out for you in a moment. Stay tuned. An eventful show continues here on Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.